God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 23rd day of November, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. The sermon from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, preaching from the book of 2 Kings, and the title of the message, Think Big. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Second Kings chapter 2, will stand as you're turning there, picking up the second part of Elijah passing on the mantle to Elisha. Second Kings chapter 2, we'll jump down to verse 9 if you would. Pick it up in the middle of the story. With memories like you all, I'm sure you've got the rest memorized. You know what's going on. That was sarcasm in case you missed it. Verse 9. And it says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back, and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were at Jericho, saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up, and cast him upon some mountain or in some valley. And he said, Ye shall not send. And when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, Send. They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. And when they came again to him, for he turned at Jericho, he said unto him, Did not I say unto thee, Go not? And this is where we get the famous saying, I told you so. In case you were ever wondering where that came from, this is the passage of Scripture. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for your word, Lord, and for all that you've called us to do and all that you do in our life. And now, Lord, as we look at this wonderful portion of Scripture, this passing of the spirit of Elijah unto the spirit of Elisha, Lord, we pray that once again we would be empowered ourselves with your Holy Spirit to do your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Kierkegaard was a Danish philosopher. He used this simple little story to explain the truth. He said a goose was wounded and in flight landed in a barnyard. Upon landing there, he decided to live with the chickens. And so he played with the chickens and ate with the chickens and thought himself to be a chicken. Until one day, a flock of geese were flying by, and as they do, all of a sudden, they let out that honk, and all of a sudden, something inside, Kierkegaard said, inside of this goose began to stir. And all of a sudden, he just, this passion and this drive began to stir, and he began running across the barnyard, and those wings that he had not used began to flap, and he found himself raising above the ground, and then, thump, he stopped, and to a thud, landed back in the mud. He decided it was better to stay in the mud than to join the geese. And I thought about that, and Kierkegaard's philosophy of this was very clear. How many of us who have wings to fly prefer the barnyard instead of flying? In other words, how many of us enjoy the easy or the lighter route instead of what we're designed to be? So often, I think, in life, we bring ourselves to a place of coasting, complacency, just kind of going along with the flow, making it, surviving, being there, and we settle for that. Our story here does not allow us to settle for that. I praise God for Elisha. I told you this morning, the title of the message was, Think Big. I praise God for someone who thought big. I praise God for Elisha who said, you know, I don't want to just carry on what Elijah is doing. I want to do more. As I read this, I thought of several of the stories. You may remember Solomon. If you like me, and of course I've meditated longer on it, but immediately my mind thought of Solomon. And in 1 Kings, when he's given an opportunity, and he too has said, ask whatever you want. And as he thinks about it, he goes before the Lord and said, Lord, this is your family, this is your country, this is your people. He goes, man, I'm a young man, I need wisdom. God was so impressed with that. Because so many come to him and said, give me money, give me fame, give me power. And none of that he asked for. And so look what God did. God said, you know what? Since you asked not for that, but you asked for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom and all that. And Solomon became the wisest man that ever lived. He was richer than any man that we've ever known. He had all this power and fame, and God gave it to him all. Why? He thought big. And what about Jabez in the book of Chronicles? You remember Jabez. And the Bible comes in Jabez's prayer. Matter of fact, I turned up to remind you of Jabez's prayer. In Jabez's prayer, 1 Chronicles 4:10, he says this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And here Jabez comes, and not to get into the whole story there, but Jabez comes onto the scene to take leadership, and he says, listen, I don't want it the way that it has been. God, enlarge my coast. Bless me indeed. Make it better than it's been. And God came, and God blessed him. And so we see not just with Solomon and Jabez, but with our story, Elisha, he asked for a hard thing. Man, look at the story. As you go back and read it, you find out they're walking along their way, as we discussed last week, Sunday night. And as they're walking along the way, all of a sudden they're just talking and the chariot comes. The wind begins to separate them. The chariot takes up Elijah and he begins to fly away. And Elisha says, my father, my father. And he begins to say, the chariot's a horseman. And the mantle falls and that which he had requested. As Elijah said, if you're with me when God comes to take me, if God peradventure wants to, if you're here, the request will be granted unto you. And so he was there, he saw it, and all of a sudden the request was granted unto him, and he picks up the mantle, and he now has double power. You say, how do you know? Well, I read the rest of the story. I know he has double power. Okay, I went ahead, okay, I cheated. But we know he picks it up, and you read the story. He picks up the mantle, and he still doesn't know. And I know Elijah said that, but come on, he asked for a double portion. It's happened. His mind immediately clicks, wait a minute, did I really receive it? So he takes the mantle, and he begins to walk back, and he comes back to the same place that Elijah was. And he wraps it up, and he takes it, and he says this, the God of Elijah. He's calling out to the God of Elijah, because he's still not sure. Now, this is his God, too, but he's still calling upon Elijah, the great prophet. He said, the God of Elijah, if you there, part these waters, and he hits the water, and it parts. And I think immediately at that moment, Elisha knew, I have a double portion of the Spirit. Now, think about that. Of all the things to ask for, of all the requests to ask for, he could have asked for anything that his mind desired. And he asked for something very special. He says, Elijah, I don't want to be just like you. I want to be twice as good as you. Yeah, I don't want to be just Elijah's counterpart. I want double what Elijah had. And I thought about that and I said, wow. Would to God that we would have a spirit like that, where we would start thinking bigger than we are. And when I'm talking about this, if you'll notice, and we'll go through it, it's not for us, but for God. If our minds could start realizing that, we would start thinking bigger for the kingdom of God and realize that God, with all of his power, wants to do great things. He's just looking for people that believe enough. He's looking for people with enough faith that he could come down and say, you know what? This group of people believe. This individual is really serious. I will take my power and place it upon him. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. Could God take someone like me and say, I want to use you in a great way? Could God corporately take Central Baptist Church and Ponca City, Oklahoma? You think God even knows we exist? I think he does. You know, could God take this church and do something amazing with it? I believe he could. I really do. And that's why tonight I want to talk about the importance of thinking big. First of all, I think as we think big and we allow ourselves to go before God and to request big things of God, I want to make sure we put it in the right context. First of all, his heart was not to maintain the office of the prophet, but to do more. Man, I think we're missing that today. I really do. You say, why would he ask for a double portion? Was it pride? Was it arrogance? No. I think it was this. When you look at this, not just a story, but you look at the rest of the life of Elijah, he saw what was happening in Israel. He saw the idol worship. He saw the abandonment of the things of God. He saw what was taking place. And he wanted to make a difference in the nation of Israel. He wanted to do something for God. And he knew, he watched what Elijah did. And Elijah did great things. And he thought, man, if I could just have more power, maybe we could do even more. And I could take the dream of Elijah to turn this country around. And maybe I could do that. Man, wouldn't that be neat if the heart of our young men, our young ladies, and our older men and older ladies, if there would just be this desire that came to say, you know what? I'm tired of just doing the status quo. I'm tired of just doing like everybody else. I want to do more. John Piper that told the story of a preacher back in the 1800s. In 1807, English pastor Charles Simeon had been pastoring for 25 years. But suddenly a weird thing happened. He lost his voice, kind of like what happens to me on Sunday and Wednesday nights. But all of a sudden he lost his voice, but his was really serious. He said it just came upon him out of nowhere. And he could still preach, but at times he would have to be almost in a whisper. You have to understand, this was before he had microphones. And so he's at almost a whisper. But for 19 years he continued on. And he decided, you know, he's just going to continue on preaching and teaching and doing what he's called to do. But he said an amazing thing happened. As quickly as it left, it came back. He said it was 19 years later. He said, I was making my last visit to Scotland. And as literally as I crossed the border, he said immediately an amazing amount of strength and power came upon me that had never been there before. At this time, he was exactly 60 years of age. And at 60 years of age, he said there was just a vigorous strength. It was like double, triple, quadruple what I had almost 20 years before. And he said, I knew it immediately and I felt it immediately. There was a passion, a power. My voice was as strong as it had ever been. And he said, as quickly as it left, it had come. No medication, nothing special, it had just come. And he says, literally, at that instant, as I began to notice that, it's as though the Spirit of God said this to me, and let me read it to you. He said this, I laid you aside, the Spirit of God said, because you entertained with satisfaction the thought of resting from your labor. But now you've arrived at the very period when you had promised yourself that satisfaction and have determined instead to spend your strength for me to the latest hour of your life. I have doubled, trebled, quadrupled your strength that you may execute your desire on a more extended plan. And he said, literally, his mindset almost 20 years earlier was this. I'll work till I'm 60. At 60 years old, I'll go on a sabbatical. I'll just kind of take a Sabbath. And I'll just kind of rest the rest of my life. I've served God. I'll do nothing else. And when God saw that spirit, God said, fine, then I'll just take your power away. If that's your attitude now, I just won't bless you right now. But yet, when God saw that his heart had changed in that time period, and suddenly he wanted to do something for God, and now at 60 he was still ministering and going forward, and had no desire in his heart to stop, God said, I give back to you that which I had taken away. And I thought, wow, could it be that maybe God doesn't empower some of us? Because in our heart, we don't want to do anything for God. Let's just be honest. How many sit around waiting for God to empower you when God's sitting around saying, hey, as soon as I see a desire inside, I'll do something. As soon as I see some seriousness inside, I'll entrust you, now listen to this, with my power. Don't you want to, I don't know about you, but if I had something that was valuable, I'm not going to give it to anybody. I mean, think about that. I mean, come on, if you had something valuable, maybe one of you ladies bring a locket or some type of jewelry and it's worth, I mean, thousands upon thousands, an unimaginable amount of money, more than any of us have. And maybe it was passed down and not only is it valuable, but it's an heirloom. Would you just walk into church and let anybody touch it? Most likely, you'd have it covered in a glass, and if you did bring it, you'd have 25 guards, you know? And you probably wouldn't say, okay, bus kids, come play with it. Matter of fact, you probably wouldn't come to the kids in the church and say, hey, come play with it. You know, you say, why? I mean, you'd say, oh, no, can't trust them. They're a little rowdy. You know, don't put them near there. Well, of course not. I mean, you're only going to trust those people that you know that understand value and are careful. Maybe somebody comes up and they just kind of have a haphazard way of living, and maybe they're an adult, and they come up and say, hey, can I touch it? You'd say, I'm sorry, no, you can't. Or you say, what if you offend them? You know, if that thing's worth as much as I'm saying, you probably don't care. I wouldn't care. You know, if Brother Sam Blackstar comes up and he just kind of haphazard and he was known to lose things and to break things and kind of had this case for all, who cares attitude, say, hey, preacher, can I touch that? I'd say, drop dead. Or you can't say, he's a deacon of the church, you might offend him. I don't mind offending him right now. You say, why not? Well, he's not proven himself in this area. So whatever it might be, he's not proven himself. Or maybe I have a car that's very valuable, and he's wrecked 25 cars. I don't know. I do have a niece that way. Her name's Jennifer. How many wrecks has she been in, sweetheart? 10 wrecks? Yeah, she's been in 10 wrecks. You remember her, Jennifer. She was our summer intern 4 or 5 years ago. Literally, I told her, don't touch my car. You said you were kidding. I wasn't kidding. Asked her. She never drove. She could drive Andy's car, but she's not driving my car. He's nicer than me. You say, why is it? 10 wrecks. Most of them weren't even her fault. But I said, hey, you're a wreck magnet. I mean, seriously, you're just in the area and people want to hit you. You're not touching my vehicle. You know, as a matter of fact, her car broke down 2 or 3 times. We had to take it up to Wichita Silvertime. I'm just thinking, why would you entrust that person with something valuable? And I thought about this. I said, how many of us sit in the service saying, oh, God bless me. Oh, I wish God would do that in my life. Oh, I wish God would do something with me. Yeah, I want to tell you something. He wants to. Did you hear that? He wants to. You don't understand. We miss the requirements. Can I tell you why most of us never experience the power of God and the blessing of God in our life? Because God looks at us and says, you know what? If I gave it to you, you wouldn't use it. You wouldn't use it. And there's no passion or desire to do something for me. And until there's something inside that says, I want to do something not for me, but for God. Like Solomon, not me, God. Oh, I know I can have anything, but don't give me riches. Don't give me honor. Give me wisdom. God says, you'll get it all. Oh, Jabez, bless me indeed that I might bless your people. God said, you got it, buddy. Elisha, double portion. Double portion. Why? So he can be popular? No. So that I can go forth and complete your plan, God. God said, you got it, buddy. Every single time someone said, I want to do something for God. And they thought big about the kingdom of God, not about themselves. Let's just be honest. Most of our thinking is about ourselves. When we think big, it's, ooh, hope Publisher's Clearinghouse gives me a call. I mean, really, that's how we think. You say, you think that way, Pastor? Well, yes. You know, and you dream, what would you pay off? What would you do? And the building would be paid off and all these wonderful. That's how we think. We think about us and our things, and God sees that and says, why would I give that? No, I'm not talking about selfish indulgences. I'm talking about thinking beyond our own capacities in a spiritual realm and believing in a God that's bigger than us and actually stepping out in faith and saying, oh, God, would you do this in my life? And the reason most of us don't is a problem of we'd rather maintain than do more. And yet when you look at this book, John 15 says that you are to bear much fruit. Over and over he says, I want more fruit. I want much fruit. I want a lot. And those that are doing a lot, God says, I'll give them more. And those that are doing nothing, God says, fine, I'll take away from you that which you have. It is a biblical principle. If you're not going to do what God has given you, God will remove it. I've known people, and I've read stories of people who could sing great, did not use it for God. God took their voice away. I knew people that had different abilities that they could use, and they wasted it in other areas, and God said, forget it, I'll bless you no more, and I'll remove it. And those people later would say, oh man, I blew it, I'm sorry, God, would you bring it back? And man, sometimes maybe he does, that's up to God, but a lot of times he doesn't. I'm here to tell you, listen, we got to get out of this mentality of just maintaining. There's more to life than the barnyard. There's more to life than the barnyard. Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts on how to get rid of maintaining. I wrote down several of them. I believe if you're going to be a person, and I realize this isn't a message for everybody. Some of you are hoping I'll hurry up and be quiet because you want to maintain and go on. But the reality is, if just one got excited about God, if just one got excited about the power of God and said, I want more out of my Christian life, and I want to do more for God than I've ever done before, I think God could take that one person and revolutionize Central Baptist Church, and I fully believe that. You say, well, how do you do it then? I wrote down 6 things real quick throughout Scripture, and I'm just going to give these to you, that if you're a person that wants to do more instead of maintain, here's some things you have to have. Number one, I wrote down this. If you're going to do more and not just maintain, don't compare with others. Compare only with Christ. You know, the Bible tells the book of Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. I'm telling you, one of the greatest dangers of why we just maintain our Christian life, because we have a habit of looking at other people worse than us, and we go, man, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, isn't that so easy? I mean, my kids aren't as bad as their kids, you know, and I pray more than they pray, and I read my Bible more than they read their Bible, and we look, you ever notice we never look at someone doing better than us? You know, whenever we compare, we like to compare to someone doing less than us. So the Bible says, comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. Let me tell you one of the reasons we're not wise. Because when we have that mentality, I'm going to tell you something, you're just going to maintain your Christian life. You're just going to kind of check off, say, okay, brought Bible, attended church, gave my tithes and offerings, said amen, sang a couple songs, went home. I'm in. Matter of fact, quite frankly, it's better than most Christians, according to what pastor says. Most people aren't even doing that, so I'm doing good. And we get this mentality, I'll just kind of do that every day, get up and do it every week, and everything's okay. No, I'm going to tell you something. If that's your mentality, you won't do more for Christ. You won't experience the great power of God in your life if that's your mentality. Oh, you'll maintain, and I guess you'll have some satisfaction here or there, but I'm telling you, it won't be everything it could be. Now, you know what you ought to compare to? You ought to compare yourself to the great men and women in the Word of God. You ought to compare yourself to Elisha's and Solomon's and Abraham's and David's and say, where am I at with them? And then when you look and say, man, I'm so short, ask God to help you to be like them and maybe even more than they were. And when God sees a sincere heart, he'll say, now you're comparing properly. Folks, don't compare with someone below. Number 2, I wrote down this. Don't be Don't become content with previous success or failure. And every year we normally go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. It says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards forward, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. You know, I'll tell you something that is true. Those that do more for God have this mentality that's very important. And it's this. It doesn't matter what I did last year, good or bad, I'm going to ask God that I can do more this coming year. I mean, that really is the difference. They don't get caught up in their successes of, look at me, look what I did, now I'm going to coast. And they don't get so caught up with their failures of, I blew it, I didn't accomplish my goals, now what do I do? You get up and you ask God for more. You get up and say, God, I want to do something different. I want to make it better. So I'm going to tell you something. Don't get caught up with success or failure. Number three, don't forget that the clock is running. When I look at people doing more, I think they understand something. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's an urgency of understanding something. And it is a difference. Those that maintain are, I got plenty of time. You know, next year, a couple years, when the kids get out of the house, then we'll start serving God. You know, when this happens, then we'll start serving. When we pay this off, we'll start giving more to God. When we do this, I'll tell you what, if that's your mentality, you'll never do it. I'm telling you, you will never, ever do it. If it's always something else, there's got to be an urgency inside that understands, hey, I've got today, I've got maybe tomorrow, if God gives it to me, I have this week, what am I going to do for God? There's got to be a time thing. Number four, keep your focus on Christ instead of the world. Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. You want God to move in your life? Every great man or woman of God that God did more with had a heavenly perspective. Interesting, as I was reading about that, it says, those that aim for heaven get earth too. Those who aim for earth get neither. Might be something you want to think about. If your goal is just going to have a good time here on earth, preacher's going to make it here, God bless me here, don't get either, you only. But those that say, I want to set my affections on God and the things of God, it's wonderful what God would do. Oh, just think. If we could have more Elishas that say, I don't want to be just like him. I want more. I want more. Let me tell you something. Let me help you with this. I don't want my boys to grow up to be just like me. Oh, as the Bible says, God forbid. That would be bad. You say, what do you want of your boys? I want them to be better. You know, I didn't train them to be like me. I trained them to be better. If it doesn't work out that way, it's their mother's fault. It's simple. But seriously, I don't want them to be at the exact level. I want them to aspire to do more. I want them to surround themselves with better individuals. That should be the goal of every parent. You don't want to be just like you. May we never just settle. I'll be honest with you. Central Baptist Church, I don't want Central Baptist Church to be the same this year, this coming year, as it was this year. I'll be honest with you. I expect God to do great things with Central Baptist Church. I have aspirations. I don't really care what's coming. I don't care how many people are getting laid off. I don't care what recession is coming. I think God's big enough to, in the midst of all that, to do something great with Central Baptist Church. Are you with me on this? You don't understand. Those are all circumstantial things. Those are all things, yes, that we see. I'm aware of. I'm not oblivious to it. Yes, we plan. We organize. We're aware of all that. But in the midst of all that and all of our planning and all of our organization, there's one factor. There's one factor that's bigger than that, and that's this. I believe God is taking us north of town. I believe God has built that facility, and I believe God's going to do something big, period. Amen. That's exactly right. Well, what about, I don't care about the what-ifs. You say, why? Because we serve a big God. Amen. We serve a very big God. And when that becomes our mentality, I have no aspirations to just go and let me help you right now. I have no aspirations to go coast up north. Matter of fact, you'll be very frustrated around me if your mentality is, glad we're here, preacher, not going to do anything. It may get really hot for you. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think it would be a shame in the first few months of the first year, which is a great opportunity that we're going to have to really reach in the community, if we went and sat on our hands and just said, "Woo, man, we're just going to enjoy this for a while." I tell you what, you got eternity to enjoy things. You got a short time to work. That is nothing more than a ministry tool that we have. Oh, there'll be some that'll come and just sit in the pew, probably complain about it. We made them hard just so they could. You say, well, Pastor, what's going to happen? I pray to God. God puts inside of some individuals, people going out and witnessing and inviting friends and sharing the gospel and asking God for more and asking God to do more. And I hope people say, boy, I wonder if we're going to be able to fill. I hope we fill the building up 2-3 times. Praise God. I think God can do it. Yeah, but the town could be shrinking. And what about? But God's not shrinking. I don't see God shrinking any bit. I think he knew about all this way before it was ever coming. Okay, this is like, oh, God sitting there going, oh, I can't believe I led them to do this. What was I thinking? I don't think I see that in God, do you? I mean, I can't even imagine that. He said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you, We want a spirit of more, not maintain. How do you get it? Well, we keep focused on Christ. Number five, I wrote down, don't coast, but seek to do your best. I tell you what you see in the spirit of those who do more. They always seek to do their best. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says this, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I'll tell you something, there ought to be a spirit inside of us that wherever God places us, whatever God wants us to do, we do it with every ounce of power inside of us. And I believe God sees it when nobody else sees it. And I believe when that mentality comes, it keeps you from just kind of maintaining, just going through the motions, just doing the status quo. And there's something inside of you saying, God, I'm doing this right now, but I'm waiting for you to really move my life to do something big, and I'm looking for it. And I'm looking for it. And whatever you give me now, if it's small, fine. If I'm going to do something small, if I got to put the plants up here, I'll be the best planter putter up ever. I mean, that thing will be just looking nice until finally the pastor comes and says, we got a bigger job for you. And I'll be happy and joyful in it, and I'll arrange it every single time, and I'll do my best. I'm telling you, when people have that type of attitude, God does something with those people. They don't just stay as the plant putter upper. You know, they move to something else because God says, that's somebody that I can use. But if you're the plant putter upper and you don't care and you just kind of, there it is. Hey, plant putter upper, they're not even. Yep, that happens sometimes. Here, let me help you. Now are they even? Well, I'm kind of tired. I'm going to sit down. Did my job. Thanks. You say, what's going to happen? Well, not only will we never use you, but I'm thinking God's up there going, why would I give you anything else? Well, I'm just waiting for God to give me something big. Well, you can't even handle putting a plan up. Why would I give you something big? I want to be a trustee or deacon. I want to be in charge of Sunday school class. I want to be Sunday school superintendent. You can't even organize a plan. Well, no, I could. If God gave it to me, I could do it. Liar. My Bible says you're faithful now. Required of a steward, there may be found faithful right where they're at. And God puts a passion inside of that individual. And God takes that individual from where they're. How many stories have you heard of somebody who was the janitor of the place and ended up running the place? You said, what happened? They gave 100% where they were at. They had the cleanest stalls in the whole place. You say, well, that's funny. It ain't so funny, they're running the place now. And somebody looked and said, that person ain't staying there. I'm serious. For it's a principle of life. I tell people right now, in this market, this economy, you want to do good? I don't care where you're at. Do the best that you can do. And I'm telling you, someone's going to notice. You say, I was doing the best and I got fired. Well, I'm thinking we have a pretty big God. And I'm thinking if you're really doing your best and God sees that, he's big enough to get you something else. Why? He's a big God. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's either this is true or God's a liar. And I'm thinking he's not a liar. God is a big God. Seek to do your best. And I put the last thing on here. Consider the fact that God rewards those who work for him. Those who have done more for God, I believe they have these six things in their life. And they stop and consider that, you know what? The great rewarder, Hebrews 11:6, the great rewarder is not man. But we believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm telling you why some people do great things for God. Because there's a desire in them like Elisha that doesn't say, well, I'll carry on for you, Elijah. What do you want me to do? You know, water the plants, teach the classes. Oh, you betcha, I got it. And we'll just kind of carry on the same. No. He says, no. He's looking at this and he says, what do you want, Elisha? And he says, and listen, he had to be thinking about this. Are you aware of this? He had to be thinking about this. This was a passion already stirring inside of him. And maybe he'd already asked for God before. Oh, God, I wish I could have double the power Elisha had. Now listen, God understands the motive, so understand this. It couldn't have been the wrong motive. He says, I wish I had the double. And when the question has come, which by the way, I believe God prompted Elijah to ask him. And when he asked the question, immediately he says, give me double what you got. Why? Because he had no plans to maintain. He says, we're doing more for the cause of Christ. And it wasn't a slight on Elijah. I'll tell you right now, if somebody... I remember when Brother B left, probably one of the most encouraging things here is when Brother B left Central Baptist Church and God began to bless the ministry and we began to grow and things happened. I remember people would ask him, does that bother you? He kind of looked at him and goes, I spent 25 years of my life there. So God starts blessing that church, the church starts growing. He says, why would that upset me? And I thought, man, I appreciate that spirit. I'll be honest, I feel the same way. I mean, if God decides to lead me somewhere else, move me on, do something, bring somebody else in, I would not get excited to hear later on, oh man, praise God, the church is almost folded. Oh yeah, man, that guy did so bad, like half the church left. That would not excite me. You know what I expect? Whoever comes next, better do more. Better do more. You say, why? Because this is God's house. This is God's kingdom. We don't ever settle to just let's make it. We want to do something great for God. May the passion of the Holy Spirit and God be built up inside of you. That you no longer say, I just want to make it. And if it takes a brand new building and it takes excitement of that, I say praise God to that. And if the building does nothing more than ignites a passion inside of every one of you that are here on a Sunday night, the core group of Central Baptist Church, if it does nothing but that, guess what? It's worth every penny that was put into it and will be put into it. Why? Because God can do great things. Now, folks, there's got to be a spirit that says, I don't want to just get by. I want to do more. And I don't know how to get that in a person. I tell you, I really don't. There's no magic potion. I think it's just something that comes inside. But there's a couple of thoughts to this that you need to understand. I think, first of all, it's a person that has a spirit that wants to do more. But secondly, as we already mentioned, I think there's a proper motive. Boy, I think there's a proper motive. You see, when the motive is to honor and glorify God, when the motive is to build God's kingdom, God honors that every single time. And by the way, you can fool us, but you cannot fool God. I think of Simeon in the New Testament. You remember there, Peter was casting the Holy Spirit on people, and Simeon comes up and says, hey, let me buy some of that. That's good stuff. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've read that and I always wondered, man, why did Peter attack him so bad? I mean, he just didn't understand. He didn't get it. It wasn't that. Okay? He could see his heart. You see, a lot of times when you read the Word of God, you just read things. We're not there, so we don't see it all. We're just kind of reading. But he saw his heart. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he begins to chide and attack, and he really condemns Simeon. You say, why? Because Simeon didn't want the Holy Spirit to bless the church. He wanted the Holy Spirit so he could walk around and say, look at me, I'm a powerful man. Look at the power I have. And God said, no, no. And by the way, shame on any of us that would ever want something good to happen so that it would glorify us instead of God. Shame on you. Shame on me. Nothing that happens in this church and where we're going to go to, can any man, woman stand up and say, look what I did? No, it's going to say, look what God did. Well, yeah, preacher, but I was the biggest giver. Well, God giveth and God taketh away. He can take away every dime you have. Oh, that's exactly right. It's not one person. If you have more, you ought to give more. Oh, I can't believe you just said that. Allow me to say it again. If you have more, you ought to give more. Why? It's the house of God. To him that has a lot, they give more. That's the way it's supposed to be designed. Doesn't mean nobody else gives. Everybody ought to give. But proportionally, you know, if I have $100 and you have $1,000, you could probably give more than I could. Even if I gave my whole 100. You know, if you gave 110, I mean, it's just kind of natural. You know what I'm saying? It's like that in any area, whether it be finances or physical. The whole thing is, what is your motive? Do you want to teach this class? Do you want to be in this position so people say, look how spiritual I am? No. We have elections coming up in 2 or 3 weeks. Don't you dare vote in somebody that is your friend because they're your friend. No. This is God's house. We've always said, people don't get elected to Central Baptist Church as trustees and deacons because of their position in the community. You know, probably that would probably hinder them. I mean, really, it doesn't. You say, well, how do you get these positions? Your peers, the people out there, say, there's a spirit in that individual of spirituality. You may be good at what you do at work, but it would not translate into the church because of the spirit thing. It makes us no matter. We want to see faithful people that love God and want to do something for God. And they're going to sacrifice their time and their effort. And I praise God for our leaders over the last 2 or 3 years that have put in phenomenal amount of time and effort behind the scenes so that God could do something great with Central Baptist Church. And these have not been men that, okay, we're just going to put them in because they're just smart and they're educated or they have money. No. These are people that have been elected and nominated and voted in because they had a heart for the things of God. They had the right motive. Let me tell you something, folks. You know what we want to keep going at Central Baptist Church? Men and women that have a motive to do something for the kingdom of God. So that corporately we can all look and say, wow, look what God did. I think so. I'd tell you, I can't wait to get out to the property. And as we look back and we keep journals and we see what God has done, that we can look back and just look at God and glorify Him for all His wonderful blessings upon Central Baptist Church. But I'll tell you something. You want God's power in your life? You want to make an impact in your family, in your town? Let me help you with that. Make sure your motive is this. It's never about you. It's always about Him. And when it's about Him, God will see that. And if it's sincere, God will start giving you that power, giving you that faith, giving you that ability. Finally, I began to look at this. There was one last component that is so key. He asked. How simple. He asked. You say, what do you mean? Yes. I remember my brother, Travis. Man, he used to irritate me. Anybody else have a brother that used to irritate them? Just checking. Okay. Trying to cause rivals. Amen. Did Brenda raise her hand? That was a test. Just saying. But Travis was one of those guys that, I was always kind of the shy guy. No comments. Well, it really was. I mean, all the way through high school, even college. I mean, I hardly ever said a word. I mean, you probably would have been shocked that I was called to be a minister, to tell you the truth. Because I was going to have to speak a lot, talk a lot. I mean, really, I could walk into a room, not say a word, walk out, wouldn't bother me a bit. You know, it's just the way it was. And but my brother Travis was the opposite. Travis has all this energy. He is uninhibited. Now, he would ask what we all thought, but we were afraid to ask. Like, you know, you go to aunt and uncles, you haven't seen them in 25 years, you know, you don't even know who they are. And you're sitting there, you know, and you're getting hungry or thirsty, you know. So we'd always grab Travis. Hey, Travis, come here. Go ask for some food. You know, why didn't you? We were afraid they'd say no. You know, so Travis goes, hey, we're hungry. Do you want to have food? Of course, they're like, sure, here you go. You know, we're like, yeah. That kid got so much. I mean, seriously, he just never bothered him to ask for anything. Hey, you got $5? Yeah, I think I do. How'd you do that? I just went and asked him. You know, by the time I get up, you got any money? Work for a kid, okay. That's just the way it was, you know. But he just always had the spirit where he could do those things. And used to irritate me, but then I started admiring it. But I'm going to tell you something. You want something great from God? The Bible is full of verses that say, just ask. Let me read a couple. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Wow. Call unto me. Hey, I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you have no earthly idea about. Well, when do we get to see that, preacher? You got to ask for it. What do you mean you got to ask for it? We got to ask. I mean, see, only people that want more, are you ready? Only the people that want to do more for God with the right motive have the audacity to ask God for great things. Well, why wouldn't everybody? Well, because James says, you ask and you have not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. Most of us, when we ask, like I said, it's for selfish desires. Oh, Lord, please give me $1 million. Why? So I'll be a millionaire. And some of you try to trick God. And if you give me $1 million, I'll help with the church. I'm thinking God sees through that. How do you know that? None of us have received it yet. I'll bless the church if you do that. What you're really thinking is, I'll give them $500. I'm a millionaire. I'm a millionaire. See, God knows our heart better than we do. I'll tell you something, though. As I look at this, I get excited about what can be. Because here's a young man by the name of Elisha who sees Elijah go up in a chariot. And he asks for a double portion of God's Spirit. And as we get into the life of Elijah, you're going to find out he did exactly twice as many miracles as Elijah. To a T. What he asked for, God gave him. So I want to ask you tonight as we close. What are you going to do more for God next year than you did this year? What's going to drive you to build His church, His kingdom, His world, instead of yours? Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you really have a heart to do that, and you but ask of God, I've got good news. Call unto Him, and He'll give it to you. Or, will next year just be another year? And then another year after that, just another year. Just another year. He said, what are you saying, preacher? Well, I guess I'm saying you're going to fly or play around with the chickens. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word, Lord. So many thoughts and illustrations in the word of God of great men and women in the word of God who did great things for you, who got excited for you, Lord, who had a passion to think big. Lord, so often we don't think that way. We think in a very temporal way instead of an eternal way. And rather than attempting great things for you, Lord, we get content with just maintaining what we have. Lord, I often recall the parable of the talents and the one that naturally just did that, Lord, maintained the one that he had. And Lord, how you chided him very strongly for that. Lord, we see throughout Scripture, Lord, you are excited about those who will have enough faith, Lord, who will have a heart for you and ask to do great things for you, not for their own selfishness, but for you. Lord, even if it's one, two, 5, 10. People tonight, Lord, that paid enough attention, Lord, and your spirit stirred enough in their heart that they've decided, Lord, they want to do more for you. Lord, even tonight, they'd begin that journey to come forward and begin a mindset that says, I no longer want to maintain for God. I want to do more for God. And I want to be all that I can be for God's kingdom. Begin to ask great things from you, Lord, that you might do great things. Lord, for not just this church, Lord, but for your kingdom. We just thank you and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.